Turn, if you will, to the book of Psalms, and you know by now what we're doing. We go through maybe our overview of each book, and then the next week we compare that book to the book, the corresponding chapter, let me get this thing kind of situated, of Isaiah. So tonight we'll be doing the overview of Psalms, and let me just say on the outset that there is no way to do an overview of the book of Psalms and to do it any justice at all. There's just so much to it. And so we're going to try our best here, but just so you know, every chapter you could preach sermons out of, you know. And so tonight we're going to try to do 150 chapters. I mean, come on. And so, but that's kind of the point of our study, right? We want to learn the books of the Bible, give you an overview of what those books are, what's in them, and then maybe just give you some tools of context to help you to understand before you even read the book what it's all about. So the book of Psalms is a book of prayer and praise, and again, this is one of our poetry books or the books of one of the poetic books. And what I was thinking about as I was looking at Psalms the last few days is that all these poetry books are so unique. You know, if you think about it, like your history books are similar because they're histories. They are telling us the stories of different people, different chronologies. Oh, by the way, I have a correction. I just remembered. Brother Mark caught me, and I got to make a correction, okay? I think it was when I was going through the book of Job, and I showed you a chart of the various patriarchs and how old they were. And I made the statement, Methuselah died the year of the flood. Methuselah died in the flood. And I've thought that for a long time. And by the way, my goal is to know the Bible correctly, okay? So when I find out I'm wrong somewhere, guess what I do? I go, oops, and I make a correction, all right? And so the reason I got that, so Mark was asking me about it, and I go, yeah, I'll show you. I got my study Bible where all my notes are. And so I use, there's two numbers to use with Noah. There's 500, that's how old he was when he had Seth, as me and Mark kind of did a little team Bible study. And so he was 500 years old when he had Seth. He was 600 when the floodwaters came on the earth. And so he actually died 100 years before the flood, not with the flood. I used 500 instead of 600, and I did that like probably years ago, and then just ran with it. And so anyway, so just so you know, Methuselah didn't die in the flood. It would have been 100 years before the flood. And I appreciate you catching it, you know, brother. It's all good. And now we got it right. It kind of helps me, actually, because I always wondered, why didn't Grandpa get in the boat? I always wondered that, you know? And why didn't, so then as we were looking, I was like, why didn't his dad get in the boat? Like, you know, these are Noah's family. Well, Lamech, his dad, and Methuselah both died before the floodwaters came. They both would have heard the warning, which is interesting. They were alive to hear the warning, but they both died before actually the flood came. So that's all from the history books. And so if you made notes about that, even in your mind, just go back and correct that. But those are from the history books. When we get to the books of poetry, each book is so unique. I mean, think about Job that we just went through. Job is a story that centers around, of course, the events in Job's life, but really, it's really the book of all these conversations, you know, conversation between God and Satan, Job and his wife, Job and his friends, Elihu and the friends, God and Job, God and the friends. I mean, all these different conversations. Think about a book like Proverbs. We get to Proverbs, it's very unique. I mean, Proverbs is like, is probably one of the most unique books in all of the Bible. And then we have a book like Psalms, which is, again, it's just kind of a book that stands all on its own. And so calling this book a book of prayer and praise, and I'll kind of explain that here in just a moment. But these Psalms are, what's a psalm? It's a song, right? And I always, yes. There's so many and they're so different. But I'm going to give you five what are called doxologies, and I would point to maybe even the very last chapter, Psalm 150, kind of sums it all up. But I don't have a one verse for the book of Psalms because they're all so, there's 150 of them and they're all very different. So it's hard to just pick one, if you will. But I think the five doxologies we'll give you tonight will be good to point you the right direction. So they're songs, and I was, you know, when I was younger, I would read them, and I'd be like, these songs don't even rhyme, you know? They don't, I mean, how would you sing these? And I was so appreciative. We had Southland here with our revival. Did you notice they sang a couple of the psalms? They had arranged a couple of them into songs, and I thought, man, that's awesome. But, you know, these weren't originally written in English, okay? They were written in Hebrew, and so they would have made sense as a song there. And they still do, but again, that's, I used to think that all the time. Man, I'm reading this. I'm just not seeing how I could sing this. It doesn't rhyme. But anyway, they are songs. But in the songs, you're going to hear prayers. Lord, attend your ear to my cry. You're going to hear lots of praise and extolling of the Lord. And so we're calling it a book of prayer and praise for that reason and another, the way that they're constructed. So let's go through some of the overview. And then, like I said, we're just going to hit the high points. I wrote down a few, and I mean a few select verses to just kind of point us the right direction. But first of all, in your notes, if you have your colorful sheet, and like I said, this sheet, we're going to kind of carry this through until we get to the end of the prophets. It'll bring us through the whole Old Testament. You get to fill out one more blank. So you've probably filled out Job, which is the pink book on the left. The poetic books are in pink. And then the book of Psalms, I'm placing it. So notice Job is way over there by Genesis, because Job lived probably just after the flood. And so we have that. And then Psalms, though, I put in 1 Samuel because that's where David is. And David wrote most of the Psalms. But, you know, there were other psalmists that wrote as well. Moses was one. And so we could, like, you know, take Psalm 90. We could move it over and put it over there by Exodus. You know, but we're not going to do that, okay? We're just going to keep it right there. So that's the book of Psalms, kind of where it fits in. So Psalms is a collection of writings, okay? Poems or songs that were set to music for the worship of the Lord. And by the way, this, I know you're like, hey, we've been doing these little half sheets. I have my notebook. What do I do with this? This is made to fold just like this, okay? You put your three holes right there, and then it'll fit in your little binder, okay? But Psalms is a collection of writings, poems, songs that were set to music for the worship of the Lord. Psalms was written by a variety of authors, some of which we don't know. 50 of the Psalms were anonymous, and it's just our best guess, maybe, as to who wrote them. And it is fun to argue about who wrote various Psalms, because when you read the Psalms, what I love about Psalms is we can take like a Bible story, like David running from Goliath. Or not Goliath, David running from Saul. He didn't run from Goliath, he ran to Goliath. So I'm trying to keep the corrections down, all right, Brother Mark? Ease up, man. He's looking at me. He's got a pen and a pad out, you know. I'm really hesitant to teach tonight because of that, you know. No, I'm just kidding. David ran from Saul in the rocks of En-Gedi, or En-Gedi, however you say that. And We see the like the events, the things that happened as he's running. We can read that in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. But we get what he was feeling and what he was praying from the Psalms. He wrote Psalm 23, very likely. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is that valley to the east that he was in. He's writing that because that's what he's feeling. So the Psalms really help us. As we put them alongside the stories of the Bible, where they were written, to help us to know the feelings. Because, you know, our Bible heroes had feelings. Yes. They had emotions. They had struggles. Do you know in the book of Psalms, I said it's the book of prayer and praise. You know, a lot of the prayers sound a lot more like complaints to me. Yes. They really do. In fact, there's a couple where he just says, I will just lay out my complaint. And I'm going, man, that's brave. But haven't we all been there? And I think that's why Psalms is one of the most read books or chapters out of the Bible, is because they are so relatable. Because it's just, hey, here's how I feel about this situation that's going on. Okay, so variety of authors. And again, it kind of gives us that side of the story. Psalms covers a vast array of topics and expounds on every part of the human experience and emotion. And that's what I was kind of getting at. One of the chapters that, if you'll turn to Psalm 32, Psalm 32, just to give you an example of this, one of my favorite chapters to illustrate this is Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is, so David sinned with Bathsheba, and it wasn't until a year later that he confessed the sin, right? Nathan came to him. There's already a baby, so we know it's been 9 months plus, etc. And so David explains how he felt between the time he sinned and the time he confessed. And he explains that in Psalm 32. And so, again, talking about the experience he had, the emotion, notice Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah." So he's talking about that time when he was under conviction of God, and it's like he's just dried up. And then verse 5, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, my iniquity have I hid not. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Just see that, how that we see that side of the story that you don't really see if you just read the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. Okay, so it gives us that emotion, the prayer that's there. So it could be said, and of course it's given away in the title, but it could be said that the reoccurring pattern is from the valleys of prayer to the mountaintops of praise. So we see both prayer and praise here in the text. I was looking for I'm not seeing it. Let's go to Psalm chapter 3. I want to show you how a lot of the psalm. Now, not all of them, because I think of a psalm like Psalm 119. It's very unique. It's the longest book in the Bible. It's all about God's word. So that one wouldn't fit this theme, but most of the Psalms are structured from prayer to praise, meaning they start out with a problem and they end with a solution, many of them. And as you read them, you'll get that at first someone is really struggling, they're praying, maybe they're complaining. By the end, they've come to their senses, or God has answered their prayer, whatever it is. Notice Psalm 3, I'd pick this one just because it's a short one, and we can look at it, but notice how that prayer to praise structure is here. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah." Now this is, again, you can see the little subtitle there in Psalm 3. This is when David was running from Absalom. And notice, he's saying, man, everybody's against me. There's enemies all around. He's worried. He's praying. But notice the last half of the chapter. "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people." Hold on. What did he say in verse number 1? How many are increased that trouble me, and many there that rise up against me. It sounds like he's afraid. But by verse number 6, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." Do you see how we start one place and we end another? Okay, as you read the Psalms, many of them are like that, where you go from prayer, complaining, maybe even a false understanding. A lot of times, I was looking for it a second ago, there's a prayer of Asaph where he's just not seeing it clearly. He goes to the temple, he has understanding. It's Psalm 77, 78, it's somewhere right in there. And he comes to his senses, and he by the end of it, he's praising God. So we see that a lot of times in the Psalms. So here's how we're going to do this. We're going to, pretty much everyone agrees on the divisions of Psalms. And so we're going to look at this through your big chart that we got, just to kind of break it all down. So we have this big chart, and the way we're going to do this is, what's interesting about Psalms is there is a correlation between the divisions of Psalms and the Pentateuch. And we've already studied the Pentateuch, so we can review real quick some of the main things happening in the Pentateuch as we go. But what I'm saying is the first section of Psalms has a strong correlation to Genesis. Now, it doesn't mean every chapter or every verse or everything that's talked about. Like we said, there's a variety of authors. It's a collection of writings. There's tons of topics. Really anything and everything is covered. But as we break down the different divisions of Psalms, we see that there's a strong correlation between the first five books of the Bible. And why this is amazing. So this is like doubly amazing here. These are different writers from different time periods with different pens and different situations. I mean, you got Moses in the after the wilderness experience, sometime just before he dies, and he writes Psalm 90. I mean, and then you got like David, he writes, how many did I put there? 73 of the Psalms. We have 50, we don't even know who wrote them. And yet they're in perfect order, 1 through 50. And they're grouped together in such a way that we see a strong correlation between the various chapters. And not only that, God then correlates each of the divisions. He gives us a marker to tell us when a division's over. I'll show you that in just a second. And then he correlates each of those five sections with each of the first five books of the Bible, which is really cool. Not only is that cool, but Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible. And the 19th chapter of Isaiah, guess what it is? It is a prayer to praise structured chapter in Isaiah. So it's just, this Bible is amazing, is what I'm trying to tell you. And so we're going from Genesis to Deuteronomy to see this correlation. And so I'll just give you these chapter divisions. We're just going to kind of help you fill out this chart here. So the first section is chapters 1 through 41. The second chapter, and you go, how do you pick that? I didn't do it, first of all, but I've learned about something called concluding doxologies, and there's five of them in Psalms. So at the end of each section, there's what's called a doxology. We'll talk about that in a second. But 1 through 41, the second section is chapter 42 through 72. The third section is chapter 73 through 89. I can hear myself in the hall. I never hear that. Everyone always tells me about that, and now I can hear it. That's annoying. Someone should turn that down. No, I'm just kidding. Does anyone in here like the sound of their own voice?
No.
Okay, well, I was somewhere the other day, and I was having a conversation, and then they said, what do you do for a living? And I said, oh, I'm a preacher. And they were like, man, you have a good voice. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Because when I listen to it, it's pretty, I don't know. Doesn't sound great. Okay. The last section is Psalm 107 to the end, 150. Okay, so has everyone got that? So the next row is, this is how we figure out where each section breaks. And we're going to look at these. So these are called concluding doxologies. Now, what is a doxology? We have a hymn in our hymn book called Doxology. And it's just a short, concise hymn that is 100% praising God. That's what it is. So a doxology is it's a poem or a short song, but its whole focus is a praise to the Lord. So all the songs, there's praise to the Lord all throughout the book of Psalms, but a doxology stands out because that's all it is. It's a praise to God. And doxologies typically come at the end to conclude a song or a writing. And so turn in your Bibles to Psalm 41. So it'll be, you know where it's going to be. It's going to be at the end of each one of these sections. So the first one is in chapter 41. And notice here, just for example, look at chapter 40, just chapter 40, and look at the last verse. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Look at chapter 42, look at the last verse. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Do you notice that when you get to chapter 41, look at the last verse. It's capital B, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. Do you see how there's like a concluding point there? Amen and amen, right? That's a doxology. It's just a short phrase, praising God, closing out a section. Now, you'll see how these all sound very similar. Let's go to chapter 72 then. Chapter 72. So I'll give it to you here. 72, verse 18 and 19 is the closing doxology. And again, if you just glance around, notice chapter 73, 74, some of the other chapters, and you'll notice they don't end this way. They end with, you know, whatever the writer is saying, they just conclude. But notice chapter 72, verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And then David writes, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So you see, he concluded the section again with this little doxology. So we know, okay, there's another section. Let's look at chapter 89, okay? 89. And again, glance around, look at the other chapters, how they end, and you'll notice they don't all end this way. But chapter 89 ends, verse 52, blessed be the Lord forevermore. It's a short one. Amen and amen. Okay, the next one is Psalm 106, verse 48. I mean, a long time. It's been years ago when I did this overview of Psalms for the first time. Before that, I never knew there was any structure at all. I just thought it was just, you know, a collection of writings. And, you know, I guess we shouldn't assume God does anything randomly, right? But it just seemed that way, that you're just reading through a collection. But there really is a bit of a structure here. So notice Psalm 106 and verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. And there's your doxology. And then at the end of Psalm, so let's look at, go all the way to Psalm 150. And this is like, you know how a fireworks show, at the end, there's always the grand finale? And no one cares about anything but the grand finale, really. But the grand finale is like, that's when it's all happening. Well, what happens here at the end of Psalms is really cool. Chapter 146 through the end. So the last several chapters here are just all praise to the Lord. I mean, just notice chapter 146, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. Verse 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Chapter 148, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Psalm 149, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Now, look at the doxologies, chapter 150, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, that's a doxology right there. Okay? And so the whole thing wraps up with that. So that's how we find our various sections. Okay? So we have the first section ending with a doxology all the way down to the very last section. Now, what's interesting about this, as we'll see now, if we'll go back to chapter 1, and I know we're turning around a lot. Is everybody with me? We're understanding it? Okay. Now, I just want you to see, and we don't have time to flesh this out, and I also want you to know, like, we're covering 41 chapters, okay? That's the first section. So it's not that every verse in there is going to have something to do with Genesis, but there's an emphasis placed upon these chapters, as you look at them from a ways off, that does correlate with Genesis. So, I just said 146 to 150, and really beginning and end there. Okay, so now the theme and content. We remember Genesis is all about man's experience regarding his fall. If we're going to point to one, okay, if you talk about Genesis, it's origins, right? God created everything. But also, the big thing about men in Genesis is they fell, they sinned. And really, the whole rest of the Bible is that redemption story. And so we have man's experience, his fall, and redemption. And so in the book of Genesis, so these chapters at the bottom, and I'm sorry, I meant to say to sit up close tonight. I forgot to say that. So sorry about that for y'all that are in the back pew. But the chapters I have man's experience, fall, and redemption. The chapters that I have listed are the chapters of Psalms. But if you'll think about for just a moment, what happens in Genesis is similar, right? They're created, Genesis 1 and 2. They fall in chapter 3. There's a story of God bringing them back into his presence. Then he calls out Israel. And you kind of have that story of the sort of heading toward redemption. Okay, so in the book of Psalms, there's this kind of an emphasis about man's experience, his failure, and then God's redemptive power, which that covers a broad range of stuff. But notice in Psalm 1, we have blessed. It starts with blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice chapter 2, though. Chapter 2, now we're dealing with difficulty, failure, etc. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Okay, so we have like the blessings when we're walking with God, really followed by the curse or the failure of men in sin. And then the chapters kind of following, so chapters 2 to 15, there's a lot in there about the failure of men. Then we get to, say, chapter 16 through 41, and we see that there's this story of redemption woven through many of the Psalms. Again, not everyone, but many of them. So look at chapter 18, for example. So chapter 18 is kind of part of the redemption story. It's in that block 16 through 41. Chapter 18 and some familiar verses, verse 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And on and on. Okay, so in these chapters, 1 through 41, we have man's blessing for walking with God, we have the curse that comes with failure, and then we have God being that redeemer woven throughout. Okay, the book of Exodus, and I know I'm moving fast, but the book of Exodus, remember, the book of Exodus is all about that Exodus, right? Their freedom, they're heading toward a redemption, they're coming out of Egypt, if you will. And so these chapters, interestingly enough, deal a lot with the nation of Israel and their failures, chapter 42 through 49. So I'll read it in case you can't see. Israel's experience from ruin to redemption. And again, not every chapter, because many of these are actually written by David. And so they're going to, he'll talk about the nation. But man, there's a lot of prophecy woven into these Psalms, and there's a lot of history woven into them. And so we see a lot about the nation of Israel. Okay, under that, Israel's ruin, chapters 42 through 49. In fact, we can look at a couple of examples. We got time to look at a couple things. Look at chapter, say, 44. Chapter 44. And just talking about Israel. So now it's kind of, you got very personal Psalms, but all of a sudden it starts focusing on a nation, which is interesting. Psalm 44, and look at verse number 9. Yes, Psalm 44, and then really the verse number 9 is where it kind of starts. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us a sheep, like sheep as appointed for meat, hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. So Israel's ruined. You might think about that time that they're in Egypt. And then we have the second part is the Redeemer. And so chapters 50 through 60 really focus on the Redeemer. Just to see this, just notice the like first few words of these chapters, like Psalm 50, the mighty God, even the Lord hath spoken. So the focus of that is going to be on the person of the Redeemer. Chapter 51, of course, this is David's psalm of forgiveness, but right here in the very first, it's all about God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Chapter 52, verse 1, why boastest thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. You can look at really all of these. The focus is on the person. Notice Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 54, save me, O God. Psalm 55, give ear to my prayer, O God. 56, be merciful unto me, O God. You getting this? I mean, it's every chapter right in here. And the focus is on the Redeemer. Then we have chapter 61 through 72, where we talk about, and again, not to say the focus is not on the Lord, but it's that process of redemption. It's that saving hand of God. So Psalm 61 through 72, and just for an example, let's look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62, and look at verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Okay, so we have that idea of redemption. Okay, let's move on. So then we have the book of Leviticus. Now remember, the book of Leviticus, I almost said Liberty Mutual right there. The book of Leviticus is, remember this, it is that which pertains to Levi, okay? If you read through Leviticus, it's all about the priestly duties, the priestly laws, the focus. So in other words, in Exodus, they're given a law, and that's the law for the people and worship and such. You read Leviticus, it's very detailed about the sacrifices, the temple, the sanctuary, okay? And so what's interesting is how many times the word sanctuary, congregation, the house of the Lord, those terms that deal with those things that pertain to Levi, like the things surrounding the temple and the sanctuary, how many times those are mentioned in these chapters? So we have chapters 73 through 89, and the sanctuary, and not by the word sanctuary, but just by the term. So like, we'll see like the congregation of the Lord, that assembly, different ways to say it. But the word sanctuary is used also. And that idea of those things pertaining to the house of God in this section here is that chapter that I was talking about of Asaph, where he has his kind of awakening moment when he went into the sanctuary. So let's just read some of these. Let's go. I wrote down some examples. So Psalm 73 is one. So we'll just start. It's Psalm 73 through 89. Psalm 73, verse 17. Oh, here it is. This is the, I was thinking it was 78 and it's 73. This is the prayer of Asaph right here. Notice he says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. So here, this is like a perfect example. It's prayer from verse 1 to 16. That's what his, he's laying it out for God. Why? And he's basically saying this. Why are all the wicked people prospering? Why do they get away with everything? He goes into the house of God, and verse 18 through the end is the praise, because he realizes he wasn't seeing it correctly, and he said he understands their end. He realizes there is judgment coming for those that don't walk with the Lord, and of course, those that walk with him are blessed. And so, really good example of that prayer to praise structure. But again, 17 there, where did it happen? In the sanctuary. Look at chapter 74. Look at verse 3. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Look at chapter 77. 77 and verse 3. It's not verse 3. Verse 13. But I mean, look at, I mean, it's there. Here's the structure again. Verse 3, in my day of trouble, I sought the Lord. Verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Notice verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You see, there's a difference in tone. He's gone from prayer to praise. Okay, and this one, again, situated around the sanctuary. Psalm 78. And go down to verse 69. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. Chapter 82. Chapter 82, verse 1. Here's one where he's just referring to the assembly. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. 84. Here's another kind of way you see it. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. So you see how there's just a theme throughout that really connects back to that idea of the sanctuary. That pertaineth to Levi, just like the book of Leviticus. All right. Then we go on to the next section. Numbers, Israel and other nations. Okay. Remember in the book of Numbers, what happened? What's the biggest thing about the book of Numbers? Does anyone remember? It's been a while. I know you've slept many a times. The numbering of the people. Good, good. How many numberings are there? There's two. And what happens between the numberings? The wilderness. That's it. That is Numbers. Okay. They're numbered twice. They're numbered at the beginning. There's 600,000 and some change. They don't go into the promised land like they should, so they're judged by having to go into the wilderness for 40 years. And then they come out of the wilderness and they're numbered again right before they receive the law in Deuteronomy and go into the promised land in the book of Joshua. So, interestingly enough, Psalm 90, our first chapter. Oh, I should probably read some of this. So we see some things like Israel's rebellions and God's mercy and provision. But thinking about the book of Numbers, which is that wilderness, you want to read about the wilderness experience, you're in the book of Numbers. This section starts with Psalm 90, which Moses wrote, and he wrote it about the wilderness. Okay? He's talking about how, I mean, I've yet to do the math on this, but I want to. I should just remind myself to do it one of these days. But how many people Moses saw die every day in the wilderness?
137 or 138.
Oh, you've done it. Okay. Well, it's like 600,000 divided by 40 years, whatever that would be. It's a lot. And so Psalm 90 is about the brevity of life. He's like, I mean, he's seeing people die every day. Every one of his contemporaries dies. Every one of his, the people that are 20 years old and upward, they all die. And so he talks about that. Verse Let's go to verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up in the evening. It is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. He continues. He talks about the, you know, if you make it to 70, you're doing really good. If you make it to 80, you're really doing good. And again, that's in their context in the wilderness, you understand? But he's talking about the brevity of life, and it's written about the wilderness, which is, again, that's the book of Numbers. Just for some other context there, go to chapter, say, 94, I've got written down here. Talking about that, the judgment of God, right? That's that time in the wilderness was the judgment and also the provision of God. Well, if you just glance through Psalm 94, it's the judgment of God. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked? How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? Again, the Lord is shown as the judge. Psalm 102, just for one more example. Then we're going to finish up with our last chapter. Again, the same idea. Notice that wilderness experience. My little headline here, the little subtext says, a prayer of the afflicted when he was overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. And again, we could continue on, but you get the idea, okay? It's that wilderness kind of experience. Okay, the last section is God and His Word. God and His Word. So let's just do this, because we just got about, in fact, I went a little long. So let's just go to Psalm 119, and Psalm 119, the longest book in the Bible, longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, and only two of those verses don't refer to God's Word in some way. So if we look at, you know, just you can pick any verse. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy Word. 82, mine eyes fail for thy Word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Verse 83, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Go to verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised. Verse 41, yet do not I forget thy precepts. So just an example of these chapters, this last section, being about God and His Word. And it all ends with that finale, the grand finale, that last concluding doxology. Now, I just included this for fun. So that's the overview of Psalms. So when you're reading it, you can break down those chapters. And of course, there's much more to it than that. There's much more depth in every chapter. But that gives you a decent overview just to read through. But I did include here in the notes a couple of fun stuff. Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. And so kind of interesting. I'll read it to you. I'll read the whole chapter to you if you want. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And so that's the shortest chapter. Just for fun, that's in Psalms. Also, the middle verses of the Bible are in Psalms. So if you can't see that, it says Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. The focus is God's Word. And then Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter and also the middle chapter of the Bible. And then the middle verses of the Bible is found in Psalms as well. Psalm 103. And the reason, there's 31,102 verses in the Bible, so there's not a middle verse, but there's two verses that we'll just call the middle. And then if you look at the middle of those verses, you can, well, it really doesn't work because of the words. The middle words would be, bless his holy name, the middle four words of the middle two verses. But that's actually not the middle words of the Bible because they don't fall in the middle verses, if that makes, because there's a different amount of words in each verse. But Psalm 103, 1 and 2, middle two verses of the Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Here's the middle four words of those verses. Bless his holy name. Pretty cool. Have that right in the middle of the Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So some pretty cool stuff about the book of Psalms. So that's it. We're going to stop right there. Next week, we will take Isaiah 19, and I'll show you how that correlates with the book of Psalms. Lord, we do thank you for the day, and thank you for your word. Lord, you give